Please be seated. We started with this long reading from the book of Joshua. Now, I'm going to guess that many of you know one part of it, sort of a little, not even quite half of a verse that's tucked in there, but it's very popular for sort of Christian house art. Joshua's line where he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many of you have seen one of those things? Yeah, they're very common, and it's a beautiful statement. And it's very much in this whole passage where Joshua is looking at the people of Israel and saying, "The Lord our God and the covenant we have been given, are we willing to still keep those?" Which might have more impact if we told more of the story of Joshua. How many people know who Joshua was offhand? That's about what I thought. That's actually pretty good. So let's step back a little bit, because Joshua steps back in history in this story. How many people know Abraham? Good, that's better. So Joshua starts with Abraham, and he reminds Israel that Abraham lived on another part of the world and worshipped other gods. And then the God they know and love spoke to him and said, "Leave everything you have ever known and go to this land I have promised you, and I will be with you." So Abraham, perhaps foolishly, did this and wound up where they are now. But Joshua has to tell the rest of the story too. So how many people know Jacob and Joseph? Ah, very good. Jacob is, of course, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, but it's Joseph who wound up in Egypt first. Remember, he was the least popular sibling. We know about least popular siblings. But this one got sold into slavery and taken to Egypt. And eventually all of Israel wound up down there with him. Which leads us to Moses. We all know Moses, right? Okay, that was not an enthusiastic response. I think I got more response for Abraham. We all know Moses, right? Oh, good. So Moses led the Israelites through the desert. And this is all in the book of Exodus. I was sort of, you're right, but led the Israelites through the Exodus. Out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into the desert. They're on their way to the promised land, but the Israelites are not so good at this question Joshua is bringing up before them. This love the Lord your God and forsake all other gods, they kind of struggle with that one. So they spend a long time in the desert. And Moses dies before they cross the Jordan. And as Moses knows he is dying, he looks around and he remembers someone. Someone who was there when they crossed the Red Sea, who helped keep them safe in the desert, and he says to Joshua, "I am dying and you will be their leader after me." This is the Joshua we hear from this morning. Joshua, who led the Israelites across the Jordan and into the Promised Land, who helped secure for them what had been promised. But this is the very end of Joshua's life, when he looks around and remembers the people he is a part of and the people he loves, the people God loves, and he says, "You have not been so good at keeping this covenant. Can you do it?" And the Israelites, because this is always their answer, say, "We can do this." And he reinforces this. And if you keep reading after our passage cuts off today, it goes on for a few more verses. Joshua does not seem at all certain that the Israelites can keep this promise. Now, we know the next part of the story, and we know Joshua was right to be skeptical. The Israelites have struggled and will continue to struggle. We understand that because we still continue to struggle, don't we? Great things are asked of us, We make great promises and great attempts as Christians, but we fail an awful lot of the time, don't we? Yes. We work very hard at this loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbors, and we struggle even with loving ourselves some days. This task of being Christ-like in a world that is increasingly confused as to who Christ is impossible to do all of the time. But we are here this morning because we know something else about this task that we have taken up. And it's what Joshua doesn't quite promise the Israelites, but what's somehow embedded in there anyways. We know that we stand before the throne of God and we make promises. In our tradition, we have a baptismal covenant that lays them out. We promise to continue in the apostles' teaching, to resist sin and come back when we fail, to proclaim the word of God, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to strive for justice and peace, and respect every person's dignity. And we fail at those all the time. And we come back. Because we know that the promise of God is not that we will succeed. The promise of God is that we are loved. And our failure is bound up in our attempts to communicate a love unlike any others to those around us. It's a really hard thing to take up. It's a really easy thing to fail at. It's a really hard thing to keep coming back and trying again. But we do this because we know that we are caught up in a promise that is more about love than about what we actually manage to accomplish. And we know, just as Joshua would have known standing there looking at the Israelites, who had already made so many mistakes and had so many more mistakes to make, we know that the God who loves us will love us after all of our mistakes, has always loved us, and that our attempts are honored because God knows that we try, and God loves us. Amen.